Whether you need to order a new pair of goggles or have a sudden urge to get earplugs, the best place to go is Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to Exit Interview number one from Survivor Koh Rong. Super excited to get into this today, but bummed out to talk with Darnell Hamilton, the first boot from Survivor Koh Rong season 32. And we're going to talk to him about goggles and everything else in between, ear monsters, and why he was voted out of the tribe. That's going to be all coming up here today in our Exit Interview podcast. Last night, I had the great pleasure to welcome Stephen Fishback back to the Survivor Know-It-All stage, and I thought that we had a really fun recap. Good to hear Steven talking about his experience and everything going on, and the big revelation last night that Stephen Fishback used to date Liz Markham. Oh my God, a scandal. So we have so much to talk about there on the Know-It-All, so you can hear that, of course, on robhasawebsite.com, or subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or search for Rob Has a Podcast in your favorite podcatcher. We're also going to be having our recap episode with Jeff Varner, voicemails with Bryce Isaiah. So a big day here today on the podcast. But let's get into it. I see that we have Darnell on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Darnell, are you there?
What's up, Rob?
King Darnell, Your Highness, how are you, buddy?
I'm so excited to speak to you. Not this soon, but I'm excited to speak to you.
Well, I'm excited to speak to you, Darnell, and I couldn't believe what I saw on my TV last night. I wish that I didn't have any goggles so I could just sort of have it just be blocked out like the murky water so I couldn't see anything.
Oh, yeah, man. It was tough.
All right. Well, this is what I couldn't really get a good read on watching the episode last night. Did they vote you out because of the goggles, or was there more going on there? Because when I spoke with Boston Rob a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this, and he said, when you like somebody and somebody that you want to keep around, they screw up in the challenge, it's like, hey, no big deal. But if it's somebody you want to vote out anyway, and they screw up in any way, you say, oh, we got to vote them out because they screwed up in the challenge. So was that the case? Did they want to vote you out anyway? And then you losing the goggles was just a convenient excuse?
Well, I know my name was in discussion before. You know, me and Sid was pretty much like at the bottom. I know Alicia was a wild card. The Legend of Alliance was Jen, Scott, and Jason. And I assume like they want to take me out, because if they take me out, then that just frees up Sid and all these other potentials, you know, possibilities. I feel like for Scott, it was more of a, oh, he messed up, let's get rid of him. Jason, I think it was more strategic.
So why weren't you able to get in good with those other two guys?
The other two guys, for one, I really didn't trust Jason. Jason was making alliances with every single person. I mean, he was out there making alliance with Alicia. Everyone had an alliance with him. Scott, I don't know if it's like he didn't like me or whatever was going on, you know. It was just, maybe to them, I was the weakest male. I don't know.
I'm not buying that. Did they feel like you and Sydney were a pair?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that was, because me and Sid was, I mean, we weren't always together like that, but then we were. And then even like, it was a lot of stuff. Like I was with Alicia sometimes, I was talking to Jen. So it was like, you know, I think it was a lot of discussion about an all-girl alliance as well. So people were paranoid.
So was the outcome of the tribal council a surprise to you, or did your gut that never lies tell you that it was coming?
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Scott, after the challenge, would not even look at me. Didn't even want to talk to me. And even when we was in the shelter, Jason told me, like, look, vote Alicia. And he's like, I can't. I can only take so much stupid. And then, you know, I was sitting there, he was laughing, but Scott was just sitting there, like, looking, nodding. Like, he said absolutely nothing to me. And that just was like a red flag to me. Like, okay, I think they're trying to send me off. I think they're going to probably take a shot at me.
That's interesting to me about the difference between how Scott might have viewed this and how Kyle or Jason, I'm still confused on what to call him. I'll call him Kyle, that the way that he might have viewed it. Do you think that that has anything to do with Scott's background coming from the NBA? That's like, hey, you took the shot and you missed, so you're the person that needs to go home.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that's just Scott. Just like I said, I think he's just oblivious to what game he's playing. He has no clue what game he's playing. It's more of an NBA, and which was very surprising to me for a guy that, you know, you played in the NBA how many years? You wasn't really a starter. You should understand what it's like to, you know, have to fight your way up. So I couldn't understand it.
Did the fact that he was in the NBA, did that mean anything to you? Because coming into the season, we were wondering if that would be a turnoff for people to find out that he had played professional basketball and probably had money. Was that a factor for you at all?
No, not this early. I mean, yeah, in all our minds, we were like, okay, like, you know, he had his money, like, let's give it to somebody else. But early in the game, you think about winning challenges. You're not really thinking about that right then and there. Maybe towards, you know, closer towards the merge or a tribe swipe or something, but not this early in the game.
So last night, the vote was a 3-3 tie when they first went up there to do it. But we were unclear watching the episode that was it a factor that Kyle heard your story about your struggles? And then he was talking with Jennifer about, boy, I don't know which way to go. Did you feel like that he switched his vote because of your story, or you felt like that they were trying to flush the idol and they wanted to do a 3-3 tie to make sure that if anybody played an idol that they wouldn't have gone home?
I think that it was more of an idol thing. Like, look, if someone has an idol, we need to flush it out. You know, I think that my fate probably was sealed already, but I think the discussion probably was like, maybe Jason got cold feet on the situation. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think the original plan was to get me out.
Okay, so speaking of flushing, let's talk about when you ended up going out into the ocean. Did that bother anybody? Was that a factor where they felt like, okay, well, I don't like that Darnell is going to the bathroom in the ocean?
Absolutely not, man. Like, I know everyone's talking about that, like, man, he was right by the shore and everything. No, that wasn't. We had a designated area. I went to the designated area and I let them know, you know, everybody knows, Rob, you played this game, you understand. You don't want to be caught by yourself. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to the bathroom. I'm letting you all know.
Buddy system.
And then when I went over there, they see me. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going over there to the bathroom. And they was like, oh, no, what you doing? What? And then they started screaming. I'm like, oh, man, I'm embarrassed. And, you know, like I said, all eyes on me at that point. And plus, like I told you, I watched Dan last year. I didn't want to lose my man TV, though.
Yeah. Right, like another postal worker.
You really helped me.
So were you annoyed that they blew up your spot then?
Yeah, I was. I was like, come on now. Like, that's embarrassing.
Right.
Everybody talks to me like, Darnell, man, you did what in the ocean? Like, why? Why? And I told people, like, you know, it's better to do it in the ocean than in the woods somewhere. Like, what you going to wipe with?
Right.
The aqueduct is very refreshing. Believe that.
I hear it's very refreshing. So when, how come Alicia didn't get any blame for not being able to put the puzzle together? It feels like everybody was on you about the goggles, but Alicia went out there and then had to sub out with the puzzle because you guys basically had made up all of the ground that you guys lost for when you guys couldn't find the oars under the water because of the goggles.
Yeah, that's another thing I couldn't understand. I just think that the plan was me. They was just like, whatever. We know how Alicia is, whatever. Let's just go at Darnell. I mean, I didn't understand it either. I was just like, and I even said it, you know, in tribal, like, look, you took forever to put the puzzle together, you know? And then there's another thing from, like, we couldn't really see the puzzle from where we were standing. Like, I had no clue how close we were. I mean, they told us how close we were, but they said it was like one piece. And, like, you really can't see, but you couldn't see. And she was just standing there like she was. I'm like, oh, my God. But who will put Alicia on the puzzle? Who will put Alicia on the puzzle like that?
What are you talking about, Darnell? She's a mental giant.
Yeah, all right. Okay. She's a mental giant.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. All right. Yeah, I heard her.
What did you think about when Alicia tried to vote for you and didn't take the cap off the marker?
Oh, my God. I thought that is That's a survival first. That is the funniest thing I ever seen. I just asked somebody on Twitter. I was like, "Can somebody please give me a GIF for that, please?" It's like, you know, usually when you do it, you write it, and you're like, "Oh, it doesn't work." Like, she wrote on the second letter, she's like, "Oh." It's the funniest thing I ever seen.
It was divine intervention.
It was like, no, not down here, no. I'm surprised she wrote the right name down.
No, I couldn't tell from the episode. It seemed like Sydney was annoyed with Alicia. Did you have any sort of negative feelings about Alicia?
No, I used to always tell her, like, Alicia is Alicia. She's different. Like, some people can't tolerate that. Like, she's, you know, Jason and Scott was really hard on her. A lot of other people was like, oh my gosh, she's just, especially Jason, like, she's just so dumb. I'm like, but she's just different. And,
well, what do you mean she's different?
I don't know. She's Alicia. That's all I can say. I've been thinking for a word to call her. It's just Alicia. That's all I always tell her. Alicia is Alicia. Like, she's just, I mean, the stuff that she does is just like, you'll be like, why? But That's just how she is.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
It wasn't like she was pushing to get rid of you at all. It was almost like those two guys just said to her, hey, shut up. Trust us. We're getting rid of Darnell and just go along with it, right?
Yeah, because me and Alicia actually, we clicked on, you know, I was cool with her just like Sid or Jen. Like, I was cool with a lot of people, but, you know, it didn't save me.
Were you surprised that Sydney on the revote ended up voting with the group against you?
No. I like, 100% know, like, people who play this game know, like, you can't put a target on your back and someone tell you to do something. I mean, it's smart as a player to do what they tell you. I mean, otherwise, like, we already knew where we stood, so, I mean, if you don't, then guess who's next?
Can you tell me a little bit more about Sydney? Because I don't really have a good read on her yet. All I know is from her bio, she's talking about how she's Sydney, but then sometimes that she can turn into her alter ego Storm, and then she has another alter ego Rebecca. Did you know that she has all these personalities?
No, you really can't. It's so shocking. Like, when I read the bio, I was really shocked. Like, that's not how Sydney is now. I mean, she really got snappy at the at Tribal, you know, with Alicia. But yeah, so I guess Storm did show his face. But Sydney is not. She's one of the nicest people that I know. So I don't forget that.
All right. So I was terrified when I watched the episode and we saw the whole thing going on with Jennifer and the bug in her ear. When that was happening, did you just think that she was crazy or did you believe what was going on? Talk about that whole scene.
Absolutely not. And look, when we first heard the story, you know, I think Alicia came up to me and was like, Jen has a fish in her ear. I'm like, what?
A fish?
Like, a fish. And Alicia was like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. A fish, like, you know. And then, you know, Alicia was like, "Just go in the water, and let it swim out." So we're on the island, and I'm just like, "Okay, whatever." But you know, Jen was working, and next thing you know, she's on the ground, I'm screaming like in pain. I'm like, "What is going on? Like, are you hurt? Do you want attention? Like, are you playing a game to that level? Like, it's something like you." You know, I'm confused. It wasn't until that night, like, she was on the raft and she was in so much pain. You could tell, like, it was terrible. All night she was, like, in pain. And they called medical over there. They put some liquid in her ear. And next thing you know, you see this ugly bug come out. I said, oh, my God. Like, I mean, people say, like, it was tiny. But it was a good size for something like that to be stuck in your ear. So that was tough. And like I said, Jen is one of the toughest people that I ever met. To have something like that. And you could see the blood. It was blood in there. Like, it was really doing damage. It was tough seeing that.
Darnell, I would have been happy that I got voted out then after that. I would have said, okay, well, I got voted out, but thank God I don't have to get a bug in my ear tonight.
Nice try, Rob, but you're a gamer, man. Yeah. You would have been out there no matter what.
No, that's it. Once I saw the bugs, I would have quit. Can you talk about the conditions? Because we've been hearing so much about, oh my God, that this is such a brutal season. But it really is something that when we're just watching it on TV, you can't tell if it's 80 degrees or 120 degrees. So how bad were the conditions?
It was the hottest I ever, you know, as far, and it wasn't just that it was hot. The humidity was, it was bad. Mm-hmm. I had got sunburned. Like, that's another thing they didn't. Yeah, like, I had got sunburn all on my back. My whole back was just shot, just from the sun. It was so hot. And then, in fact, and a lot of people don't know this, like, that first challenge, one of us had water. We was really, you know, relying on coconut water amongst us. And then it rained the first night. So we were, like, super dehydrated. And you take that into consideration, people, you know, I was proud of our tribe because we fought. Like, we had no water, and we fought like that. It was, you know, I really felt really bad about it. That's why I was really upset about the goggle situation, because we struggled for those 3 days. It was tough. And it wasn't just, it was a lot of things, from the heat to the dehydration, and the bugs were terrible. The bugs was just really
terrible. I believe you. Darnell, I was so bummed out last night. I really wanted you to stay on the show, that I could tell that you are a real personality. So bummed out to see you go, but I hope to hear more from you in the future. And all the best, Darnell.
Oh, yeah, we got to do a podcast and tell Nicole that I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll tell her myself. I'll tell her myself, because she got offended when I didn't add her, so I'll tell her myself.
Well, you were talking about sunglasses, and you should have been talking about goggles for the ugly people that are on the island.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Goggles, what's she going to tell me? Like, oh, get a goggle.
All right, Darnell, all the best, buddy, okay?
All right,
take care. Bye.
Okay.
All right, everybody, there you have it. There's Darnell. And yeah, he got into it. Nicole didn't like what he had to say in the thing. And then he had to clarify that he was joking. And so glad it's all worked out between Darnell. Seems like a really good guy, Darnell. Yeah, bummed out to see him go. Nothing against Alicia. I just felt like that. I saw a lot of potential in Darnell as a character on the show. And I'm bummed out that he only got to have one episode. 90 minutes, though. So at least that's more than some of these people that only get a 60-minute first episode. All right, everybody. So let's get into it. Every week on the Survivor Exit Interview, or most weeks, sometimes, you know, scheduling gets kind of crazy, but we bring in this man who has gone through all of the Survivor record books and goes ahead and checks out the Survivor calendar and the sundial to make sure what happened in every single week, all through the annals of Survivor. And here he is with us to talk about that once again this season, our good friend Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how are you? Glad to be back this season. Very excited to talk about this week in Survivor history.
Happy new season.
Yes, to you too. And I'm not going by Jordan Kalish anymore. I'm going by Jordan Storm now.
That's my
alter ego.
Not Storm Kalish.
No, but no, yeah, it actually has a better ring to it.
Yeah. Sounds like, okay, we're following Storm Kalish. It's sweeping through the eastern seaboard right now. And as it moves up through the Carolinas,
yeah, it's well, you know what? This week in Survivor history has been sweeping through
this week in weather history. Yeah. There was really a nor'easter back in 86. Okay, so let's get into this. So that's the premise. Every week, Jordan's going to come on, and we're going to talk about stuff that happened in previous years, as we are now in, I guess, year 16 of Survivor, and a lot of stuff to pick from. And these are going to be mostly the even-numbered seasons that we're going to talk about here on this year's version of This Week in Survivor History. Jordan, how has your off-season been? Good?
My offseason's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've missed Survivor, but I think it was a needed break from Second Chances, which was a crazy season. But I've been following the cast. I watched all the cast videos, listened to all the RHEP podcasts, predicting players, of course, the Corinne cast, which was a lot of fun. So I'm ready for this. I'm very happy we got to watch the first episode yesterday. And sad to see Darnell go. He seemed like an interesting guy, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
All right. Before we get into This Week in Survivor History, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Lyft. And Lyft is a great service driving people around. And it is also a great way to make some extra money becoming a Lyft driver. You don't have to be one of these people on Survivor. Jordan, you see what these people go through. They get bugs in their ear. They end up getting dehydrated, having panic attacks. You don't want any of that noise just to try to win some money when you could be out there driving a Lyft, because you can be your own boss and you could be meeting people and having flexible work hours. Doesn't that sound a lot better than going out on Survivor?
It does. I drive a lot, and I have literally never had a bug go into my ear while I was driving a car.
Yeah. I bet it's probably also great if you love listening to podcasts too. But on top of that, you could drive whenever you want, make up to $1,500 a week. Even if you have a full-time job, you could be a Lyft driver. Some people are making $800 just working Friday night through the weekend. It's perfect if you're saving up for something special or just want to make some extra cash or get to know some people or even learn a new city, because you can make up to $35 an hour and you get to keep your tips. So go ahead and use this link. It's lyft.com/lifestyle. That's lyft.com/lifestyle. Make sure you use that link to sign up, lyft.com/lifestyle. And then you can go ahead and start earning some extra money. It's lyft.com/lifestyle. All right, Jordan. So let's get into talking about this Survivor time machine. Where do you want to go?
Okay, so we're going to go pretty far back this week in Survivor history for the first episode that we're going to talk about during season 32. I figured we'd go to an episode that I actually have never spoken to you about, and this is your first episode ever on Survivor. We're going to February 13th, 2003, 13 years ago, Survivor the Amazon.
Yes, boys versus girls.
Yes, the first out of three times that they've done that.
I remember it well. The night that my Survivor career started on TV, my parents had a big viewing party on that night, and it was very exciting. I think a lot of people that knew me in real life thought I would be the first person to be voted out of that season. And then I was very excited because I was on my way going back up to Oswego, where I went to college, and I was going to be going back to college. I thought I was going to be like a real BMOC that weekend. As an alumni, I was visiting and I felt like, boy, everybody's going to really want to talk to this guy. And really, it wasn't exactly like that when I actually got there.
Now, you should have gone. Too bad they didn't have know-it-all events and the event like Andrea and McNally had the other week, because he would have really been a BMOC as a current Survivor player.
Right. Not a lot of the college women were really that pumped up to meet a real-life Survivor that weekend.
Especially one that was comparing the women's tribe to the vagina monologues.
No. They could not be less interested. And this is like, Survivor is like a huge show too at this point. So really.
Yeah, this is back in the heyday. Maybe not like season one or two, but it's still, you know, it's still up there in the
ratings.
Like,
this was my whole plan to go on the show and then go, and it was like, like my people who were my friends who knew me were like, oh, that's good. But really it was not the windfall that I thought it was going
to
be.
But you were such a big fan, though, that this had to have been a great night for you. And you had a good episode, too.
Yeah. And it was a big night. All right. So remind me again, you know, as the years go by, what was going on in the first episode of Survivor the Amazon?
All right. So as you mentioned before, Jeff splits up the tribes into men and women. This is the first time that they've done anything like this. And we get a lot of comments in confessionals about, you know, the men kind of being cocky and saying that the women have no chance and that there is no way that the men are even going to tribal council. So it kind of started off where
we really didn't think we were going to. Like, it wasn't like we were like pouring it on, but it was like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it was mainly Dan Liu and Ryan. And these are the two guys that end up being in trouble by the end of the episode.
And it's not to say that a tribe of women could not beat a tribe of men. We just felt like that those women weren't going to get it together. And, you know, they did, you know, in two out of the four immunity challenges. So good on them. But we just did not think that they were going to put it together.
So it was just by look then, right? Because you never really get a chance to, maybe you had eye contact with some of them before the season, but you never really had a chance to talk to any of these people, right?
I mean, especially based on what I had seen in Survivor challenges previously. And again, we didn't know that, you know, there's going to be a huge balance component to one of the challenges that's coming up. We didn't really think that there was going to be a chance that we were going to be losing these challenges. You know, especially when you're looking at the likes of Janet, and it didn't really seem like, you know, Jenna and Heidi did not seem to be physically imposing to us in terms of a physical challenge. So look, good for them.
Yeah, they did a good job in the challenge. I mean, around camp, I mean, you guys did build a better shelter. You guys,
your camp
were more,
was a disaster.
Yeah, and I remember that when
I lived there.
You got swapped to them in the middle, not the middle. Well, yeah,
thank
the
God
merge.
It didn't rain that time that I was there. we would have died.
so you guys won in every aspect except for actually winning the challenge, but you know, there were some confessionals that, you know, really set you up to look dumb, not you, just your tribe, to look dumb when you lost the challenge. And so some of these are really are real winners, kind of like when, you know, when Ryan says that the girls are all eye candy and they're great to look at, but he wants people on his tribe that are going to be useful.
Look, what do you want from Ryan Aiken? What do you want from, look, Zoolander 2 is in theaters. We have, he was ahead of his time.
Is he going to be in the movie now? Because he should have been the first one. That was the biggest mistake.
I thought it was based on him.
Producers made. Oh, maybe. I could see that.
That was his story.
And then also, you know, you have Dave Johnson this episode, who is Bang probably, ring. I think it's my favorite Dave Johnson episode in Survivor history, where you have, I think he calls three tribe meetings.
Bring it in here. We're going to talk now.
he lectures you guys about, mainly Dan Liu, about lying.
Don't bring
about,
me down with your BS, Dan Liu. Dave hated Dan Liu.
He did. He did hate Dan Liu. He voted for Dan Liu.
He did not like him at all. He really did not have, he got a good hating to Dan Liu very quickly.
He voted for Dan Liu for no... Well, actually, he said Ryan was from his hometown, right?
Yeah, that was something. I don't know.
Is that true? Because I looked at the wiki and it looks like they're from different states.
I don't know exactly what happened. And somehow, Dave Johnson said he knew Ryan before the season started and he wasn't going to vote for him.
That seems like a bad strategy.
Yeah.
But this is, yes, this is the... So at Tribal Council, once you guys finally lose the challenge, one of the best lines, and I recently listened to the first two Evolution to Strategy volumes, and when I was listening to Survivor Amazon, you and Josh Wigler really loved when Dave says that Shauna's ski hat is badass.
Yeah, Shauna, she wears a ski hat that's badass.
It is, and right after that, like about 30 seconds later in airtime at least, he says the bangarang line, which is I guess that's bang-a-ring. The closest thing that Dave Johnson will ever have to a catchphrase.
Now booyah, I think K Garnet Garnet got a lot.
he was a gem.
Jeff really like entrapped us with asking about like okay, so yeah, you talk about it, like, oh, so who's that? And then he's like, I can't believe you're talking about the women.
Yeah, he definitely got you talking about it, and then yelled at you for talking about them. So, and you were accused of being in love with Heidi.
Yeah, that Ryan Aiken, one of his final thoughts on Survivor before his torch got snuffed, was accusing me of being in love with Heidi. Which, you know, look, a very famous baseball player decided to be in love with Heidi. So it's not the worst idea in the world.
That's true. I don't know what it is with these Phillies players being in love with Survivor.
I think I say these powerful men who seem to fall for Heidi.
Yeah, that is also the case.
Yeah.
So Ryan Aiken goes home. He is, you know, probably not the best remembered player in Survivor history. When you look back at this episode, he gets a pretty bad edit. And to be honest, I don't really feel bad for him.
Yeah, when he voted, he said, don't hunt what you can't kill.
Yes, he did say that. And I actually have that in my notes. I have, ask Rob what that meant. Did that mean anything?
It means that he was being very cocky when he was voting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told him I was going to vote with him because I felt like I wanted to be the swing vote.
You did say that, and you didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I didn't think that ultimately I was the swing vote. I didn't think that nobody told me that Dave Johnson wasn't voting for Ryan.
Mm. Do you think Dave Johnson sort of went rogue there, or do you think, I guess...
No, I think he cleared it with Roger and Butch.
He did tell Roger at one point. And what I also wanted to ask you about this episode, so you actually make two tennis references in this episode. First of all, you talk about Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs.
That was the battle of the sexes.
Yeah, I know, but even in 2003, that was an outdated reference.
I'm an old soul, so even when I was younger, I knew old references.
Okay, fair enough. But then when you're talking,
so now when I reference even the things I knew when I was younger, now I just have really old references.
Yeah. But then when you're talking to Ryan, Dan, and Matt, though, about them trying to pull you in to vote out Roger, you say we're good, game, set, match. So were you just thinking about tennis that day?
I think so. I am like the worst liar. Also, if you watch any of these old Survivor footage, it's like when I'm lying, I'm like, yep, good, yeah, that's. Sure, let's vote for you.
Yeah, they all seem to buy it, though.
Yeah, I am a brutal liar.
Yeah, but I guess you have an honest face or something.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do it. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
Good job. I think you probably had the most confessionals in that episode, so it was a good way to start off your Survivor
90-minute premiere. Also, I think the first time they did that, so it was exciting. Exciting night in Survivor history.
Very relevant to tonight.
Yes. All right. So that was all the way back in 2003 on this week. What was the night on that?
The night was the February 13th. It was actually 13th. Saturday. So I sort of cheated and went one day before this week in Survivor history.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
It was either talk about this, or if I wanted to do Amazon, we could have talked about the Janet Koth vote. And I think this is more interesting.
No, that's one of the worst episodes of the Amazon episode too.
Yeah, it also makes me hungry for granola.
Oh, I know the granola bar. That's a big moment. That's a huge thing. It's an episode that doesn't have a lot of meat. That's what I got confused. It's an exciting episode, but it doesn't have a lot of meat.
So the next one I'm going to take you to is Survivor Redemption Island.
And this is
not a season I really love to talk about, but very good premiere episode, actually.
No, it's actually, I think, a fantastic premiere. And I think I said it in the Evolution of Strategy, spoiler alert, I think I said it might have been the best premiere.
Really? Okay. I mean, I've never ranked premieres before.
I think I said it was the best tribal council in a premiere. And maybe this week, I do think that the Francesca one, where Francesca, where Philip, it's like, I have dry mouth and my mouth is being treated. I think that that's still better than this one, but it also was the first tie, I believe, at the tribal councils.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, this one is so fresh that it's hard to really rank it. I've never, like I said before, I've never ranked the premiere episodes, but this is one of the best ones, and it kind of goes, the season sort of goes downhill after this episode, maybe with a few exceptions. But this is an episode, first of all, you have the players who come out, I guess they think it's going to be a 16-player season, but then Jeff decides to bring out Russell Hans and Boston Rob to play, you know, Boston Rob in his seventh season, Russell Hans in his ninth season.
Smart, no. Number four.
Oh, only four? Okay. It seemed like more than that.
Yeah. Get it right.
Yeah. The story of the even number Survivor season.
It was Rob's fourth and Russell's third. So combined it was seventh.
Yes, that's that is true. But it came from Heroes versus Villains, where they had the whole, you know, the argument at the finale, where Boston Rob says that he'll beat Russell any day, and then Russell responds. So that's sort of, I think, maybe how they got the idea of the season. Mm-hmm. Boston Rob and Russell are both huge Survivor characters. The season didn't turn out the way, you know, it actually probably turned out the way that Jeff Probst wanted, because Boston Rob won.
I think it was a good idea on paper. You know, they didn't know exactly it was going to be a boring season, but I think that they thought it was like, okay, let's build a season around this. Sure, why not?
I think the biggest issue was the people that were cast besides Boston Rob and Russell, because there were really a lot of duds on this on the season, and a lot of the good people, a lot of the people that I would have liked to see more, like Francesca, got voted out early.
I hear you. There's definitely some issues there with the casting, but the premiere episode really was a strong episode, because you had the return of Russell, who's up to his old tricks like off the bat, and then you had Rob and everything that, you know, his tribe, he's trying to get everything together. You had the premiere of Philip, and he's like, who is this guy? Who is this jackass? It's different. It's a different guy who's somewhat like Philip. And you know, the debut of like the pink panties, what's going on here, and everything going on with Francesca and Christina Kell, who has the idol. And so there's a lot of excitement there in that first hour of Redemption Island.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And I really, when I was looking at this episode, I wanted to follow the Ometepe tribe, because they're the ones who end up going to tribal council, and they have that great, those great moments at the end on Francesca's way out the door, which is very sad, because she seems like such a great person. Then it happens to her again 2 years later when she's the first one voted out of Survivor Karamoan.
Yeah. A tough week for Franny,
but luckily season 26 actually starts in a different week, so it did save her from getting voted out twice in the same week, if that's any consolation.
Yes, but that's why that we like to have Franny on the podcast every February, to sort of balance it out.
And she's great. She's really very good. Yeah, I she's not someone who's going to let her...
She found her calling. Her life is fine now.
Oh, exactly. Her life is good.
Yeah.
Just like Jeff Probst.
Jordan, great spot this week. At Jordan K. Lish, of course, we'll be going through all the stuff. If you have any suggestions, sometimes Jordan also likes to poll Twitter or the patron group about what do you want him to cover next week. If you have any suggestions on anything, at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, anything else?
Yeah, Rob, before I go, I just wanted you to do one thing, one little mini game before I say goodbye. So obviously, Philip Shepherd mispronounced Francesca's names many times during the tribal council.
Yes.
But can you spell how he spelled her name on the parchment?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if when I used to say Jordan Kalish, it was because I had dry mouth.
No,
I'm getting treatment.
That would have been a good question, too.
Yeah.
As if, well, the treatment worked.
Okay. How did he spell Francesca? I believe, yes, I would say F R A N. I know it's going to end with Q U A. I'll say F-R-A-N-C-E-S-Q-U-A.
Sorry, it was not an S, it was a Z. C-E-Z-Q-U-A. Yes.
Philip, thought, get out of here.
Which was 100% intentional, and very, you know, very, very, made a great tribal council even better at the end. And this was the deciding vote, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a 4-3-2 vote because Boston Rob, actually coming off his experience of being screwed by Tyson voting himself out, still decides to split the votes, which I thought was pretty ballsy.
Yeah. And he talks about it. He's like, hey, we got to be careful here. All right. Jordan, thank you so much. Talk to you later, buddy.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish back here on the podcast for This Week in Survivor History. Okay. Here's where we're going from here. So the next podcast you're going to hear is going to be my recap with Jeff Varner. Of course, we're going to talk about everything from last night and get into plenty, I'm sure, from Survivor Cambodia. That's coming up next. Then after that, we're going to do it as a separate podcast. I think that's going to be the new format. Unless ultimately we get a lot of complaints, I want to then break up the recap and the voicemail into two shows because that ends up just making it a lot easier for me to deliver that to all of you guys. So we're going to do our voicemail podcast with Bryce Isaiah. Get your voicemails in, go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. I think the cutoff for the voicemails is going to be probably around 7 p.m. Eastern time. So get those voicemails in robiswebsite.com/voicemail. So really looking forward to all of that. And then, of course, don't forget, we have our amazing race coverage coming back this Friday night. So should be a lot of fun. Really excited for everything for this season. Can't wait to get into it more. So looking forward to reading your comments on robiswebsite.com. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.